This is Jim Inkster, and thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, originating from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge. Robin Dow's producing, and your number, 877-217-5757. Our email address, talk@talklouisiana.org. And we are joined by the great audience at WWNO in New Orleans with WRKF in Baton Rouge. And Congressman Cleo Fields is at the ready. It's been a busy 9 days for him. It was Wednesday a week ago that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that Louisiana's congressional configuration was unconstitutional based on race. And all kinds of things have happened in Louisiana and in three other southern states. The districts are already in the process of being redrawn. And in Tennessee, yesterday, they finished their job of redoing their congressional districts and took Memphis, split it several ways. And one district now goes 300 miles all the way to Nashville to try to accomplish 9 Republican congressional districts in a 9-member state, 9-0. And the question is whether that is racial gerrymandering. But Cleo Fields is the authority on this. He faced a redistricting issue 32 years ago in which he lost his seat. And now it's Groundhog Day. It's all over again. And you've been making the rounds, Congressman Fields. I know you're showing some wear and tear, but for good reason. Lots of people want to hear from you. What's your assessment of where we are right now on the 8th day of May, 9 days away, excuse me, 8 days away from the May 16th election that will not include the U.S. House seats?
Well, first of all, thank you, Jim, for having me, and it's good to talk to your listening audience. It's deja vu all over again. I mean, the Supreme Court's decision was absolutely horrible. It gutted subsection 2 of the Voting Rights Act. You know, we used to have subsection 5, which about 8 states were covered. Louisiana was one of them, and that was one of the tools we used when we did redistricting. We always knew that we were in a minority in legislatures across the country. And so we had an opportunity to, you know, have the Justice Department to actually watch over state legislatures and city councils, particularly in the southern part of our state. That was gutted in 2013. And so we relied heavily this past redistricting session on subsection 2, which was the dilution. And, you know, I never thought that the Supreme Court would basically gut section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, but they did. And that's very unfortunate. But I think that whistle from the President of the United States of America, quite frankly, when he first took the oath of office, one of the first measures he signed was an executive order to do away with diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think that set the tone for the rest of the country. I think governors and legislatures started to feel empowered and emboldened that it was okay, you know. Having minority districts was not a good thing. And the Supreme Court, I mean, they just followed through, you know. Reverend Otto pointed out Supreme Court justices for life for a reason. And that reason is, you know, they are the final arbitrator of law. And we want them to be nonpartisan. We want them to interpret the law, not give political decisions. But we've had a political court before, Plessy v. Ferguson, you know. That was a political decision when the Supreme Court of the U.S. Basically said they legalized segregation. They said it was nothing wrong with being separate and equal. But another Supreme Court came afterwards and they overturned it. This is just another battle. We've set, you know, civil rights, voting rights mm-hmm. back over 60 years. But we got to keep fighting.
The late, great Martin Luther King said the arc of history is long, but it bends toward justice. But you are correct that this is a step in another direction, a step in the opposite direction since 1965 when the Voting Rights Act was approved. And by the way, it was approved then without the support of Louisiana's two U.S. senators, Russell Long and Alan Ellender, who voted against it. and many members of our congressional delegation. But it has been the law of the land, and now it's not. And the Supreme Court, the same court, 3 years ago in a very similar case, ruled 5-4 the other way, but two of the justices, John Roberts, the Chief Justice, and Brett Kavanaugh, they switched their votes. What do you make of that?
I don't, look, I have to respect, I have to accept the opinions of the court, but I don't have to respect them. I mean, I, that court, that was a political decision. You know, it was a total political decision. They said it's all right to do partisan gerrymandering, but it's not okay to do racial gerrymandering. Okay, well, this case, listen, I was chairman of the committee, as you know, when this district was drawn. And I made it very clear, you know, we tried to pass a plan that was much different than this, but it created, you know, two majority-minority districts, but we didn't have the votes for it. You know, the membership didn't, you know, have the will to do it. But when this plan came before the Senate, I wanted to make sure that we complied with all of the, recent rulings of the court. So one of the questions I had to the author of the bill was, you know, are you running this district from Baton Rouge to Shreveport for racial reasons? Why are you doing that? There are plans that are more compact than this one. And his answer was very clear. He said, no, I'm doing it for political reasons. I'm doing it because I want to protect the only female member of Congress. And we accepted that. You know, he said, let me go a step further. I'm doing it because I want to protect the Speaker of the House. And I want to protect the majority leader in the Congress. The Supreme Court has held that that's totally legal. You can do that. And so we accepted that. This district was not drawn the way it was drawn for racial, solely based on race. It was drawn the way it was drawn because of politics, you know? And obviously, Alito didn't read the case, you know, because had he read the case, he would have known that. You know, and it's unfortunate that justices, you know, basically, you know, just make political decisions. He was intent on doing away with the Voting Rights Act. He was so intent on doing away with the Voting Rights Act, he didn't even want to give the losing party the opportunity to request a rehearing. You know, he said in his opinion, look, if they was going to request it, they would have requested it by now. Who does that? So now the justice is determining the intent of lawyers who are litigating? This is a terrible decision. And, you know, but it was all set by the tone of the president. You know, diversity and equity and inclusion is a good thing, not a bad thing. When our military became diverse, when they started admitting women, and blacks, they didn't make them weaker. It made them stronger. And we became the most fierce fighting machine known to the world. And people need to see how diversity is good. It is not bad. But this decision will be overturned at some point. We got to pass a John Lewis Voting Rights Act in the Congress. Next Congress, I think, will be different from this one. They'll make some corrections.
877-217-5757. The other issue is the suspension of the election. And there are challenges, but it looks like things will go as the governor intends them to. And it put him in a spot. The timing of the Supreme Court was kind of curious, too. But what do you make of the fact that on May 16th, your name won't be on the ballot, but it wasn't going to be in there anyway because you ran unopposed in the Democratic primary.
Yeah, but what does this say about our state and our nation when people qualify for office? I think the suspension was absolutely, totally wrong and unnecessary. This election was confusing to begin with because we were doing a closed primary election, which is different from Louisiana. So there was already confusion. And the courts have held in the past that under the Purcell case, that if you are close to an election, you should go on with that election and change the lines the next opportunity. There was no reason not to do that this time. The Supreme Court ruled on Wednesday, and within 24 hours, the Secretary of State suspended the election, despite the fact she had sent over 100,000 ballots to people here and abroad. You had people in the military who were fighting for our freedoms overseas actually filled out their ballots and sent them back to the state. Elderly people filled out their ballots, sent them back. And then to just say, your vote won't count. But that fight is not over yet.
Okay, we'll pick up with Cleo Fields. Your number, 877-217-5757. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And please be brief. We do have some folks lined up to talk with Congressman Cleo Fields. Your number is 877-217-5757. Sean in Baton Rouge. Sean, you're on with the congressman. You're on the air, Sean. What is your question?
How are you doing this morning?
Yes, sir. What's your question?
No, I don't have a question. I just like to make the statement because after hearing all this going on, and I must say to the most part, even the way it was before the Supreme Court ruled, that has never benefited the masses of the black people. The only thing that benefited is for those who participate in it, like Cleo Fear and his staff.
All right. I don't know where you're going with that, but I appreciate you calling. 877-217-5757. Miriam in Mandeville. Miriam, you are on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm a woman. I'm a registered Democrat. My husband and I are retired, so we voted by mail. We mailed in our ballots weeks ago, and that was our choices were based on how the race was shaping up at the time. We actually vote in a strategic way. Well, our votes are nil now. They're calling a do-over because they don't like the way things are shaping up in Washington, D.C.
Is it an attempt by the White House to try to retain control of the House? Is that the underlying theme here, to try to get more Republican seats?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when the president of the United States picks up the phone and calls the governor of Texas and says to the governor, I need 5 more Republican seats, that's exactly what this is all about, maintaining control of the House of Representatives. Right after this decision, the president said, look, I think that's a great decision. We can get 20 more Republican seats as a result of this. This country, we're losing it, thread by thread, and it's going to take good people just standing up and keep fighting. I feel sad for the lady who just called in. Her and her husband, they sent in their absentee ballot weeks ago, and you're going to say their votes don't count? It's terrible.
877-217-5757 is your number. There is still time to get in with the congressman. Lulu in New Orleans, you're on with Congressman Fields.
Morning, gentlemen. Congressman, I would love your comment on how this is just another example of the Republican Party trying to repress the vote. And they're not interested in democracy. A prime example would be Blake Migas passing the law in 2024 saying it's illegal to do ranked choice voting when it wasn't even up in conversation. They're not interested in the people getting their will. They're interested in standing power.
Well, I appreciate the comments, Lulu. And I tell people, we've had bad decisions before, but it's going to take people like you and me to work together to make them better. We can't stop voting, let's assume that the court say it's okay. It was okay to stay this election. I hope they don't. I hope they let the votes be counted. But we can't stop. We got to fight to protect our democracy. And as long as I, you know, I hear voices like yours, like the voices I heard last night at the Baton Rouge Community College, you know, people, you know, are aware of what's taking place. And now the question is, what are we going to do about it? And we can't be silent. We gotta keep fighting. And I appreciate the call. And I'm sorry that that may end up happening to you and thousands of other voters in this state.
Again, 877-217-5757, Paul in Opelousas. Paul, you're on with Congressman Fields. Hello, Paul.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
Good morning. What has happened has happened. Bottom line, but we still have the right to cast a vote in any election in the United States, if you're in that state or in the, or nationally. Right now, how do we motivate people just to go vote? And not black, white, Democrat, or Republican, but just to get off the behind and vote, because our governor made it with, I think, 17%, Jim, of the vote. That's not a lot. So how do we increase just the people to go vote?
Yeah, I use the same scenario, the speech or whatever, when I was speaking to constituents in Shreveport on Monday. One lady stood up and she said, I'm just tired. My vote doesn't matter. This system doesn't work for me. I'm not voting. And I said to her in a public forum, you know, how does that help? And I just walked her down this road of, when you don't vote, you are really, you know, letting people do what they want to do with your life. And then she, at the end of the presentation, she said, you know what, you're right. And everybody in that room, you know, basically encouraged her. And we, you know, and so now she's still in the game. She didn't walk away. You know, people, they're no apathetic voters. They're just uninspired voters. And Paul is going to take you and I and others to inspire voters. Go to the polls. Go vote. You know, I tell people, go to the Capitol today. You know, if you don't want to speak, just let your face be seen. You know, because this is a terrible, terrible time in our country, and we get through it.
Henry in Baton Rouge. Henry, good morning. You're on with Congressman Fields.
Good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Congressman. First of all, I already voted by mail before the decision came down, so my vote's in there too, for whatever it's worth. But I think that one thing people need to realize, they've been fighting you since you were in Congress the first time. They've been fighting you now. They just won't let up. Is it to have something to do with the fact that nobody, and I mean nobody, controls you? You're your own man, and I appreciate you being your own man.
Thank you, Henry.
Well, you know, Henry, this issue of this case, rather, is not about whether or not Cleo Fields will serve another second in Congress. It's really about whether or not a person who looks like me have the opportunity to serve in Congress in the future. And that's what this fight is all about. And we got to be willing to fight, you know, fight for that that opportunity.
Now, the legislature is going to do something. They could try to have a 6-0 majority, like Tennessee now has a 9-0 Republican tilting congressional configuration, despite the fact that Tennessee has 17% of its citizens who are black. Louisiana has a third black citizens, and or they could go with one, and they could put you and Congressman Carter in the same district. Would you run?
Well, first of all, neither of those are good options. First, if for Louisiana to create a 6-0 map would be absolutely terrible, and I would hope that my colleagues, my former colleagues in the Senate and the House, don't do that. The second scenario you gave was, what if they pack, you know, New Orleans and Baton Rouge in the same district and put two congressmen in the same district? Congressman Carter and Congressman I, would I run? Look, I have no desire. I just don't have the desire. I do not have a desire to run against Troy Carter, you know? And I've made that very publicly clear. I think it'd be a disaster to put both pockets of of minority voters in the same district. I think that would be, you know, absolutely terrible. But if that happened, I'm telling you right now, I have no desire in running for a seat to take out another minority member of Congress. It's just not something that I wish to do. Serving in Congress to me is not the most important thing in my whole life. And to pit one against the other, I'm just not going down that road.
So you would not run?
I would not run against Troy Carter. No, the answer is no. And I've made that clear to every single person who have, asked me that question. I have no interest. I just don't. You know, this state's minority population is over 33% black. 33%. There are all kinds of ways you can create a second minority district if you have the will to do it.
We're going to be back to wrap it up with Congressman Cleo Fields, and then we'll have more after this time out. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. We're going to spend a few more minutes with Cleo Fields, and we understand the general, Russell Honoré, is tied up at the Capitol, but he has a great pinch hitter in Caitlin Joshua, so we will hear from her as well. But we'd like to get to a few of you, but you got to be really brief. But before we go to the phones, the congressional races will still be on the ballot. So are you encouraging people to sit out or to vote?
I'm encouraging people to vote. I mean, please don't listen to these radio ads by the Secretary of State saying don't vote for House members because that election is suspended. It's suspended for now. I don't know the ultimate decision of the court. Well, I don't know what it will be, but the court could very well say Louisiana put the cart before the horse and lift the suspension. And how terrible would that be? You went to vote and you didn't vote the full ticket, and then they lift the stay, and then you were not able to exercise that right. That's crazy. Vote the entire ticket until there's a final declaration from the court, not on whether or not the map is legal. That's already been decided. But whether or not there's another lawsuit, whether or not this suspension should have been put in place in the first place.
All right, Mark in Lafayette, you got to be concise, but go for it. You're on with Congressman Fields. Hi, Mark.
Sure. Hey, Jim. Hey, so if you've ever looked at a political map of the country, we're basically all red with a couple pockets of blue. And if there was not gerrymandering, I believe Republicans would be up like 40 seats.
Well, that's not true because you have people in urban centers. New York City is not very big, but it's got a metro area of 13 million people. You can't look at a map and determine elections based on landmass. Otherwise, Alaska would have more electoral votes than anybody in the country. They've got 3. California has 54. Let's go to Chris in St. George. Chris, you're on.
Yes, Congressman, when will you stop trying to divide Americans by race?
Now, I don't know where that's coming from, but let's let the congressman answer. Go for it.
Well, first of all, there's no division by race. I mean, when I fight to have people included in the process, that's not dividing people. That's bringing people together. And I will continue to do that.
David in Atlanta. David, you're on with the congressman.
Congressman, I came to Atlanta after Katrina 20 years ago. I live in a high-rise, mixed-income apartment building. It's heavily Democratic, about 90% African Americans. Now, there's a hall downstairs where I used to vote many years ago. Now, the Republican legislature and the governor eliminated the hall in this building, the precinct. You can no longer vote. And many of these people are elderly, disabled. They don't drive. They're in wheelchairs. And that's a perfect example of Republican suppression of the black vote.
Well, we got to make voting accessible to everybody, and that's why, you know, we need to pass a new John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Under subsection 5 of the Voting Rights Act, it protected against those types of measures. Anytime you would change a polling place in the southern part of our country, you had to get pre-clearance from the Justice Department. We don't have those protections today, but hopefully the next Congress will pass a bill that have meaningful that would have a meaningful impact on people who are similarly situated.
Okay, final call for Cleo Fields. Congressman Fields is ready to hear the question from James in Metairie. James.
Yes. Hi, good morning, everybody. Congressman Fields, it's being reported there are, quote, extreme elements in the Republican Party that would destroy the two majority black districts. Do we have any names? Who are these people? Who are the organizations that are behind this? Can you tell us, please?
Well, the names and the organizations, I do not know. What I do know that good people need to go to that Capitol today and let their voice be heard and their face be seen. Because this is terrible, and it's not just happening in Louisiana. It's happening all across our country. I mean, a democracy is about inclusion, and we do not want to turn back 60 years of what good people have done for this nation.
Thank you, Congressman Fields. Appreciate you going into overtime. And he's headed for the Capitol, the state Capitol. He's man about town, but a guy who's been there, done that. More than three decades ago, he lost his congressional seat in a redistricting plan when Louisiana lost one congressional seat. But Cleo Fields had his district, which sprawled from Shreveport all the way to Baton Rouge, shut down by the Supreme Court. And it is a case in which now it's shut down for reasons other than the configuration. It's largely because it was a black district that covered a lot of ground, but so does the district held by Mike Johnson, and so does the district held by Julia Letlow, who's running for the United States Senate. And we have this weird prospect that if Letlow were to lose the Senate election, she could probably qualify and run for Congress, as could Senator Cassidy, who is a former congressman, and even John Fleming, who has a day job as state treasurer. He's a former congressman, five terms, he could run too. So it's a bizarre situation. And in Louisiana right now, we have 2,965,000 voters. And of those, 1,853,000 are white and 925,000 are black. It's almost exactly 2-1. But it appears that there will be an effort to make a configuration either with six white Republicans and no black Democrats or no white Democrats. And there will be a prospect also, as Congressman Fields said, of throwing him and Troy Carter into the same district. And he says if that happens, he will not run, that Cleo Fields will not run against Troy Carter. So he made some news today.